Certainly, as a congregation, we look forward to our hymn sing Sunday nights, a time in which we have an opportunity to select a favorite hymn of our own. And we always have delicious food and a time of fellowship together. But before we engage in that, I'll direct your attention to a few verses in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And before we look at some history that's been recorded for us, and as the scripture says for our profit, let us pray that indeed the Holy Spirit would make it truly profitable for each one of us. So let us pray together. Our Lord God, we acknowledge that you are the one who brings all things to pass. Things that from our appearance seem so insignificant, but yet you have done them. And so tonight we look at some history that you brought to pass. We ask that you would help us to understand, and Lord God, as only you can, make it profitable for our own lives, that we might consider your greatness, that we might reflect upon our own responsibilities before you. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. How often have you said to a fellow believer, can you believe what's going on in our nation? Can you believe it? We get very upset and we're alarmed. We're seeing things. We're hearing things. We just can't believe that this is going on in our land. The terrible, terrible immorality that's taking place. And then add to that the awful breakdown in law and order. It seems like gangs run many of these big cities. And then something we don't hear a great deal about, there's kind of a breakdown in our utilities. Ooh, we wonder what's going to happen back east when the cold weather comes and they need that heating oil. And when we wonder about, will the electric grid, will it hold up? And maybe you haven't heard a great deal about in some big cities like in Michigan, they got a drinking water problem. Down in Mississippi. Got a drinking water problem. I mean, I go to the faucet, I turn it on, I expect there's some good water there to drink or to cook with or to use in whatever I need. But there's a great big problem, you see. But if we kind of reflect upon the history of our own nation, breaking it down to a couple of items, from time to time, we've really had some law and order problems. There have been gangs running our cities. Add to that, we've had some utility problems. But we'll go beyond our nation, even before it was founded, and we look way over in Europe. No, we'll go back to the Bible, and what do we find there? Well, we find some gang problems, juvenile delinquency, and we also find some water problems. And so I'll read a portion tonight, and you can pick up on this. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. And so here's what we find. We have Elisha, and what he is doing, he has been making some trips to the schools of the prophets. They are in various locations in Jericho. You see, he's more or less taking the place of Elijah, who was taken up to heaven. And so Elisha now is the headmaster of the schools, the school of the prophets. And so while he's at Jericho, we pick it up this in verse 19. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water's bad and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness. So the water remains healed to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head! Go up, you bald head! So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. and two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Then he went from there to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. Amen. And so as we reflect upon these historical events, we'll do so under a couple of miracles, two miracles. You remember Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and it seems to be coming out when you read the study of Elisha. He did a lot more miracles than Elijah ever did. And so he's going from city to city, and it's interesting. You have the school of the prophets in Jericho. You'll have him in Bethel. He's going to Samaria. He's going to Mount Carmel. And what you have here in these areas, yes, the school of the prophets, but you also have a hotbed of Baalism. That's where Baalism was very, very strong. But yet, God puts the school of the prophets there. Why are they there? They are there certainly as witnesses. And if God's dealing with any of those pagan Baalites, he can bring them over and they can be instructed. And that's the same thing that's going on in our day and age. We are Christians. We live in the midst of a pagan society. Why are we here? To function as salt, to function as light, to give forth a witness. And so here, we'll look at a first miracle, and we'll call it a miracle of mercy. A miracle of mercy. So the men of the city said to Elisha, please notice the situation of this city is pleasant. In other words, it's a beautiful city. Oh, such nice structures, maybe good roadways. Things are really nice. But you notice what he says, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. In other words, it had a bad, bad water supply. Evidently, it seems that there was some kind of a spring outside of the city. It came through, and it was bad. It not only tasted bad, but evidently it was killing people. For you pick it up down in verse 22 after the healing of the water. Or verse 21, it says this, cast in the salt, thus says the Lord, I've healed it. There shall be no more death. And so people were dying from drinking this water. Add to that barrenness, it could be that the ladies were having miscarriages because of this bad drinking water. So here is a terrible situation. And as you very well know, men need water. Water is very, very important. In fact, a man's body, depending upon his size, it's 55% up to about 78% water. God made man, he needs water. And you go back to the garden, and there, of course, it talks about a mist that came up, and also there were nice rivers, so he had access to plenty of good drinking water. He needed that water. Man needs water for himself to exist. He needs water for his crops. He needs water for his livestock. And so everything was fine before the fall, but after the fall, oh, there was a problem with reference to water. Man had to hunt for his water. He had to dig for that water. And you remember during the days of Abraham, it would speak about how he would dig a well, and what would happen? Well, the Canaanites would try to take it over. Men would fight over water. You had the same thing with reference to Isaac. He would dig a well, and they would come in and try to take it over. And so there was this fight and this struggle, you see, to have water. And even down in our day and age, you have these struggles over water rights. Man needs water. And so you have so many stories about it. When God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt in Exodus 15, there's Mara. In other words, they get some water. It is so bitter, and they cry to the Lord. Well, he sweetens it up. In another place in chapter 17, they cry about water. So he has water come out of the rock. Men need water. Men are dependent upon water. That's the way God made them. And so here's a city, got a water problem, and if a city doesn't have water that citizens can drink or use, evidently it was hurting the crops, it says the ground is bare, that city will not last unless some way you can haul in a bunch of water. And you have other examples. We all talk about Samson, that mighty man, and at one time he killed about 1,000 Philistines, and then he says, I'm going to die of thirst. And so the Lord brought water out of a rock, some manuscripts say out of the jawbone of the ass. But he needed water. We need water. And probably some of you sitting here, you're getting thirsty. Well, you can get a drink in about 5 more minutes, you see. But of course, we know the most important water we need is what? The water of life. And that's what Jesus said. And so through faith in Him, we have the true water, the water of life. But here is a miracle. This miracle saved this city. A simple thing. How often do we think about the importance of water? In the desert, we're pushed. You need to drink, drink, drink. You dehydrate, you dehydrate. Thank God for water. But we're going to move on in this little passage, and we'll think about a miracle of judgment. A miracle of judgment. And so here you have Elisha. He's God's prophet. We'll pick it up in verse 23. Then he went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head." And so here is this gang of young people, and the Hebrew word for youth, it's very broad. It could be rather young children all the way up to people in their young 20s. And so they come out of the city, and they mock him. They make fun of him. They are tormenting him. Now, how many were there? Well, we know for sure there's about 43 because they got mauled by some bears. But we might assume there are a lot more than just the 40, maybe 50, 60, 75, you see, because undoubtedly when the bears came out of the woods, they scattered. But yet 43 of them got mauled. And so we ask the question, mocking this prophet, why were they doing this? How did they come up with this? And a very reasonable answer would be because of their parents. You see, children listen to their parents. And if parents put somebody down, if they express their hatred for someone, don't the children pick that up? And the citizens, they hated Elisha. They didn't want him around. And so the children, they pick up on this. And so they go out and they're going to mock him. They're going to say all kinds of evil things. It seems like we just have a bare outline here of what they said. But I would imagine there was a lot of profanity. A lot of nasty talk towards this prophet. And a bald head, probably premature because he lives for another 50 years. But they see this. And they mock him. They make fun of him. They say terrible things. Now, all of us know about teasing. We all get teased once in a while. We just laugh it off. It's no big deal. But this was nasty. This was an expression of real hatred here. He's the prophet. He's the mouthpiece of God. And to mock the prophet the way they were doing, expressing hatred for him, they were expressing hatred for God. They couldn't attack God. But they could attack his mouthpiece. And so that's what they did. And so the prophets down through the ages, they've been attacked. And God does not take that lightly. And he took note of what was going on. And so when you look at the historian in 2 Chronicles, he gives it a little summary like this in chapter 36, verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Mocking the prophet. And you know, there was a very, very great prophet that was mocked. It was Jesus Christ, the true prophet. Upon the cross, they mocked him, made fun of him. He saved others, save himself. On and on it went. And you know, there's a statement by the Apostle Paul that says something, "Be not deceived. What a man sows, he shall reap. God will not be mocked." They mocked God's Son. When you read in the opening chapter of the book of Proverbs, it's a warning about mocking. God says, when the trouble comes upon you, I'll mock you. Can you imagine that? Being mocked by God, having God laugh at you? Well, they mocked his son, and what happened? Well, about 70 AD, the whole of Jerusalem was destroyed. You don't mock God. So here are these children, we'll call them these young people. And so they're mocking the prophet. And you notice verse 24, so he turned around and looked at them. And in my imagination, he looked very sternly at them. He was giving them a warning. Back off. Back off. But evidently, they didn't back off. These were hardened little sinners. And so the prophet, he pronounces a curse upon them. And you notice in verse 24, pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the ewes. And so these female bears, what stirred them up? Well, there's guesses made. Maybe they had just lost their cubs. And you take a female bear, you don't mess with mama bear. You mess around with her cubs, she'll fight you to the death. Or it could be they had some cubs, and they hurt these young people. Maybe they were close, evidently, to the edge of the forest. And maybe they thought these young people, all their whooping and hollering and things they were saying, and maybe they were dancing around the prophet and clapping their hands, the bears thought, they're trying to come get my cubs. And so they sweep down. And you notice what it says, mauled 42 of them. Now they try to soften up, says, well, it just says mauled. Doesn't say it killed them, just mauled them up a little bit. Well, the Hebrew word carries the thought of really to cut and to claw. And if you could make it through a female bear attacking you, oh, I'd say it's very doubtful. And so I would say 42 of them, some of them blatantly say it, 42 of them were killed. And so you can imagine the rest of them scattered, and I assume a little fear hit them. And I would also assume that the parents of these 42, maybe they had a few sober thoughts. God's judgment, you attack his servants. Now I remember quite a few years ago, my son was in grade school, it was the Christian grade school. And they invited me over. I think a couple of classes were together, and they wanted me to bring a devotion to the class. Well, I thought, that's, you know, they've heard about bears. I'll read the story about the bears. And so I made some comments and just tried to bring out, you know, God takes note of the sins of little children. God's not pleased with the sins of little children. And I told them how it is that children are sinners, and they need to confess their sins and ask the Lord forgiveness and to seek to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't remember what all was said. And then I sat down. And immediately, my son's teacher and another teacher got up and they straightened things out in a big hurry, informing those little children, you know God loves you and you're so precious in his sight, you don't want to be afraid. I thought, well, I'll be. I don't remember all they said, but I do remember this. I was never invited back to that school again. You know. But I was just trying to speak to the children. They know about bears, and they know about sins, and I brought out sins that little children commit. Well, here was some children. Here was some young people. And they taunted the prophet, made fun of the prophet. And they reaped the reward. It's not good to make fun of God's mouthpiece. The important thing is to listen to the word of God. Respond to that word. And obey that word. That's what we are to do. Amen. Let us be dismissed in prayer. Indeed, Lord God, it has been a great blessing to be in your house this day, to be able to come into your special presence. We thank you, Lord God, for the blessing of being able to sing praises to you. We have called upon your name, Lord God, and we know that you hear us. We have listened to your word. We thank you for having dealings with us. Indeed, in many ways, you have made us to think upon our own ways in the light of your truth, Lord God. And we desire that we would go forth in this coming week and we would be faithful servants. We need your grace to do that. We need wisdom, Lord God, as we face many decisions. And Lord God, help us not in any way to be ashamed of the gospel. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.